Welcome back. It's time for another episode of Check Out California. Hosted by Rod Gantos, principal of Rod Gantos and Associates, and hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, chief development officer of Broughton Hotels. Broughton Hotels, a boutique hotel management company. This whole show is focused on state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play right here in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and our unique quality of life. So without any further ado, let's bring in our host.
We either have to have that whole intro thing dialed in with a not much sweeter sounding announcer.
I agree.
Or we have to cut it down. One or the other, or both.
One of the two.
I played the short music version, and that was wrong here. So
yes, I do short music from the guy with Park Gargo shorts. I do apologize, guys. We are still kind of working out some of the kinks on the show. This is our second episode, and we are trying to get our audio dialed in on the intro. So Paul had to fill in again.
Yay, Paul, for filling in.
And it is Broughton Hotels?
Broughton Hotels.
Broughton on.
So, Larry, if you're listening, we'll take him outside later.
Can we just do a quick plug for Broughton Hotels? What is Broughton Hotels? What do you guys do?
Broughton Hotels is a third-party management in the boutique sector, and we will be expanding into the soft brands as well.
Explain to people what that is.
Yeah. The soft brands are rather new in the industry. The bigger brands, IHG, Hilton, Marriott, and the same have launched these more boutique, more social hotels. It's not going to be the plain vanilla like you were getting with a Courtyard or a Hampton.
So they sort of feel like one-offs, but they're not.
Correct. They'll take a little bit more of the local culture and blend it into the hotel. They've got a little bit more liberty, social media, and, you know, it's us being a boutique hotel operator, we thrive in that space. So there's, we feel that there's a lot of synergy at Broughton Hotels.
And do you help set them up, or do you manage them?
Yeah, we manage them. We do both. We've got a new hotel up in Menlo Park that is under construction.
He was just up there.
Just up there the other day. They've got a lot of the underground parking put together, and they'll continue to work on that and pour some more concrete, and we'll have roughly 76 keys and an outstanding restaurant up there as well.
Why do we like that? I remember years and years ago, maybe I'm dating myself, but Ian Schrager, who was one of the partners in Studio 54,
correct,
became known for building these kind of boutique. He built a chain of them, but no two felt the same, and they all had different names and different appearances. And
correct. And there was another company that Larry Broughton, our founder and president, was part of, Joie de Vie, that was another one that did the same thing out on the West Coast. So Larry, Ian Schrager, Chip Conley, and a few other guys were really the nucleus of the boutique side of the hotel industry.
What do you see when you go into a boutique hotel? I've only been to one or two, so you tell me. Give me what a boutique looks like and how it's different than when I walk into the standard cookie-cutter Marriott, Hilton, whatever.
Well, that's it. They're going to take in the local flair and infuse it into the lobby. You will have a sense of arrival. You will have guest services that are far exceeding your normal hotel experience. You're not getting into, say, a McDonald's or something like that. You've got personality. You've got, you know, usually an outstanding food and beverage component, and some others you may have
a really great restaurant attached to it. Yeah.
And you might have a spa, you know.
Well,
it's also
so it's also a little bit more of a human scale, if such a thing exists in the hospitality industry, versus, you know, like, you know, multiple towers of something. I mean, not to knock those, there's a market for everything. But I think when your expectations from a boutique side of it is it's a little bit more personalized service.
Exactly.
A little more attention.
Without the lines, without the crowds.
Correct. I mean, you know, you can check in at a front desk. You could have somebody greet you when you walk in. say, with an iPad and check you in, and they know who you are, and they recognize you. They know what your wants and your needs are. Or you could, you know, go check yourself in, you know, in some cases.
Right.
You know, it's
but you're
it
not
is that
standing
personalized
at,
service.
Not standing at the typical Hilton with 12 people checking people in, and there's 15 in front of you.
I don't know that. I don't know that. But I don't think that. I think that's a little bit of a dated concept. I think with technology and things of that and things of that nature, unless you're at sort of a large convention hotel or something of that nature with a lot of people showing up at the same time.
Correct.
That isn't necessarily the case anymore. But I think, for me at least, when somebody says to me boutique hotel, my expectations is a lot more personalized service, a lot more attention one-on-one that happens, right? And again, but I think the interesting thing about the conversation you guys are having and Paul's reaction specifically to it as a sort of, if you will, man about the street,
man on the street,
man
yeah.
on the street kind of opinion, is it tells you that the industry is not as defined as it was.
They haven't gotten their message out. I'll give you that. I don't think that they have defined themselves to a lot of people. Now, the business traveler, yeah, we know it inside and out. And Paul, with one of these, a smartphone, you can check in before you even get to the lot and walk through the front door. So,
but
there's a lot of things that they haven't capitalized
on. But, Greg, wouldn't you, and I guess this is kind of like the focus of the show today, is don't you think, though, as an industry, as refined and sophisticated as it is, we are, and he's grinning because we both know that things are not sophisticated all the time, but I would say in general it's a pretty well-oiled machine.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
As an industry goes. And there's a lot of checks and balances and a lot of customer service and hospitality built into it. But I think it is experiencing a paradigm shift right now.
It is.
Of a combination of changing end user or guest profile. Expectations are all over the map, relevant to who the whether you're a millennial or you're a baby boomer or you're a traveler or you're retired vacationer, Gen X or whatever, multi generational. I mean, it's all over the map. And whereas before it was a little bit easier and less variables involved, I think there's more variables involved now. And it's both exciting that way, I think, and at the same time challenging.
Absolutely.
Right? And the rule of thumb, I think, that's been the case always in the hospitality industry, which will again serve it well today, is that it has to be done, and we touched on it in the last show I was doing with Paul here with a bunch of other people an hour ago, is authenticity, authenticity, authenticity.
That's the buzzword these days.
You know, integrity in the delivery of service, in everything from the quality of the food to the handshake for the person who's greeting you, everything. And what I wanted to talk about today is we're experiencing, some of us who are maybe more involved, we're experiencing these attempts, these efforts being made to reshape the industry, right? Or to claim certain part of the industry for themselves, whether it be the boutique, whether it be the smaller number of key, very specialized. I wouldn't even call it a hotel necessarily, and that's a certain number. Does it become like a B&B almost, but with more sophisticated building and services?
Right.
Kind of model.
Health and wellness centers.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. This isn't even being limited, for example, to the hotel industry. Beverly Hills last month basically declared themselves City of Wealth, W-E-L-L-T-H. Okay, Beverly Hills, City of Wealth, and basically
wealth with two L's. That's clever.
Yes, right. So they took the A out of it and threw in another L. But basically, they are using that as their draw and visitor draw to the city of Beverly Hills.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
And I know you're going to talk about spas today here.
Well, I think we'll touch on that, but I do want to say that my recent experience that kind of made me want to look at this from a different perspective was this media event that took place at it wasn't Beverly Hills, it was at the Montage Hotel. It was put on by the International Spa Association, and it was last month. And it was it funny enough, their approach, because usually there's a bag of goodies with stuff in it, right, with spa industry, right? That's when my wife says, "Oh boy, did you bring me something?" I say, "Yes, honey, here's a backpack." It was a backpack worth of goodies, right? And I want to give a shout out to iSpa for putting on an amazing show as usual for their members, and they showcased some properties on the West Coast and some other properties a little further, like as far as Wisconsin. I think we had Kohler Water Spa was there, it was interesting. They called it Trailblazer's Guide is how they basically formulated the package, right? And they had a backpack with the goodies in it, and too, that you took home. So they really lived the whole Trailblazer thing.
The retro look on the book,
the retro look on the book. And I, thanks for sending me this, guys. I didn't have it, so I appreciate you guys sending it to me. So Trailblazer's Guide, 2017 West Coast Ice Spa Media Event. And you know, the properties that were in here were, like I said, some of them were on the West Coast. We had the Biltmore in Santa Barbara, which I believe we have a lady from the Biltmore that we are going to call here in a minute, try to get hold of her so we can talk about some of those properties. It's summer. People are looking to travel. People are more health and wellness oriented and minded. They got, in your case, you know, you could be traveling with your grandkid. Right. Aren't you going to Hawaii with your grandkid?
Yes, I am.
Right. So here's a multi-generational situation, you know. Grandpa's.
How old's your grandkid?
Almost a year old.
And you going to Hawaii with a one-year-old?
Wow. Oh, yeah. It took his father when he was 6 months old.
The bar has been raised.
This is,
there you go.
You know,
this is a tradition in your family.
This is a tradition in my family. Yeah.
So I wanted to,
the reason they call me Aloha Craig.
Aloha Craig. So Aloha Craig is taking his grandson on vacation with him. Aloha Craig isn't going to go.
And the parents.
And the parents, right.
And the brother and sister.
Right, so that grandpa can basically still go have his cigar and his, you know, scotch. Right.
But it's a health show, no cigars.
That's right. No. We can talk about it. We just can't smoke it on the air or on camera. Right? That's the Christmas show.
That's the Christmas. The Christmas show is wide
open. With a crackling fire. Okay, but I just want to give a shout out to some of these properties. Two Bunch Palms in the desert is awesome with their natural springs.
What is
springs.
Two Bunch Palms? I hear about it. I have a home out in the desert on Palms Springs area, and I've heard of it.
You don't know about Two Bunch Palms?
I really don't know what it
is. Okay, so Two Bunch Palms is actually a property that's been around for a long time. And they've recently went through an expansion of facility, and it's got, I believe it's got natural muds, it's got a hot spring.
Hot springs, yeah.
Right? And it's basically really amazing. I believe that their mineral waters there is like 600 years old.
Wow.
Right? Which, again,
use his name, okay, use Rod's name.
I can get in.
Either they'll lock you out or they'll give you a free pass.
So if you help me do a good job today, then they'll no. But Two Bunch Palms, really, it's an interesting property, and it's a unique property in that we don't have a lot of these in California. Left.
Mm-mm. There used to be lots of them.
A lot of these
where you went to
natural,
take the water, the baths,
springs,
or whatever. You know.
Right, exactly. And so this one, actually, they did a really nice job on the remodel. They did a nice job on adding facilities. They have a full-service spa there. As you would expect, they have things that are...
What city is it in?
It's in Desert Hot Springs.
Okay. Yeah, because that's where a lot of the hot springs were in Desert
Hot Springs. Right? It's in the desert. It has a hot spring. It's right. Hot springs, right? We're very simple in California. Direct communication.
What should we call this area? The desert where the hot springs is.
add a little word of like avocado or agave or calle or something.
Something in Spanish. Yeah. Right.
But no, seriously, it's a really good property. It's amazing. It's speaking, we were talking about sort of like a boutique-like environment. It is very much like that. It's a little bit of, it's still a throwback of a 40s and a 50s. It's got that vibe to it. Mm-hmm. So there's cool. That added escape of, you know, like nostalgic California.
Well, that's all of what Palm Springs and that General Valley
retro,
is about. Retro. Yeah. The 50s houses. The
Rat Pack, era gone by.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. And so while we are on California, mm-hmm. Okay, I do want to basically see if we can get hold of the lady from the...
I'll go out and call her right now.
From the Biltmore, because that's another signature property.
Before you call her, though, I just want to ask one question, then I'll try and back off here. So when you say boutique, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. I went several years ago to one of these W hotels.
Right.
Is that sort of a boutique? I know it's a chain and they all
feel
the same.
No, it's more of a trendy property.
Well, you know, but he's right.
Is it a boutique?
You know, at one time when Starwood was getting that launched,
right.
The two guys running Starwood at the time actually came to Larry Broughton. Hmm. And Chip Conley, and they showed them behind the curtain what was going on. Lo and behold, W was launched. And with 15 properties globally, W was accounting for a little bit more than 25% of the revenues.
Wow.
Right, because of that boutique
vibe,
individualized vibe and feel. You're right. And the other thing is, you know, the other brands were trying to play catch up on it. And, you know, they couldn't quite get there.
Do you think we're still, as an industry, and I'm segueing for a minute, but do you think we're still, as an industry, still doing that? We're still doing that copycat or whatever is the hottest?
Oh, of course we are. Of course we
because
are.
To me, the W hotels were sort of the evolution of the Intriguer.
Yeah. They were.
Right.
And Marriott tried to brought Ian Traeger
exactly.
on board.
That's why
for
I brought it up, because it felt like an institutionalized version of what I perceived Ian Traeger to be doing.
And, you know, Ian Traeger's done a lot of great things. You look at the Clift up in San Francisco as one example. You look at Morgan's and various others. And
Did he do Checkers downtown?
Actually, that was a former client of mine, and that has always been a great property.
It's a cool place.
Checkers in downtown L.A. is one of my favorite hotels.
It's a cool place. Yeah. I've never stayed there, but I've visited there. Don't they have a lounge up on top of the roof or something?
There's a pool. First rooftop pool in Los Angeles is a Checkers hotel.
And now that's
a lot
such
of
a trendy, cool thing to do.
There.
Yeah. Right.
And so I credit the people over at Tarsadia Investments when they were Tarsadia Hotels for Checkers Hotel. That was just a beautiful buy.
So then the flip side of that would be, would you also consider boutiques the ultra minimalist stuff that's popping up? I had to go to San Diego overnight, and I looked at the Travelocity kind of thing, and all the hotels were ridiculously priced for one night, and I didn't want to stay at the Travel Lodge kind of thing or whatever. I think that's where I eventually did stay. But there were a lot of these, you have a name for them, but I almost think of them as hostels. Maybe they are called hostels. And it was like, it was a hotel without anybody there. It went, and maybe you slept two in a room, but it felt very much
that's
bare,
that's
like
a hostel model.
Hotel.
And it has an appeal, especially with millennials or people like
Europeans.
Surfers, for example. You see a lot of sort of
and
surfer
I almost
hostels.
Tried it. I said, no, I'm too old for this. I don't know if I can do this. Yeah. But the price was right. It was stripped down. It was bare bones. It was in and out. It was small. Yeah. All of that sounded appealing to me.
Let's try to get the.
All right. Is that a boutique, too?
No.
No.
No, that's, well,
that's,
you know,
a hostel.
That's a hostel. You know, you can be minimalistic, and you can put the bed on the floor and have that in a boutique hotel. But, you know, personally, I want the bed in a frame and elevated because I'm old. So.
Right. Right. No. And I mean, there is a hostel, for example. There's a friend of mine by the name of Joshua Host that I'm going to give a little plug. He's in San Clemente. He took a building that's in the south end of town that's almost across the street from, if you're going to Trestles or San Mateo, right, at Cotton's Point, good surf spots, and basically turned this building into a surf hostel.
Right.
And it has six rooms.
You got to tell me what this phone number is. I can't read your handwriting.
Okay. It's 818-424-1006.
424. Okay.
Yeah, it's also a subscription for your meds. Okay.
Again, we're just getting off the ground. We are having a few technical difficulties.
That's all right. We're doing a song and dance. If you had listened to the show before this an hour ago, it wouldn't be perfect because we've been doing that for 2 years. This is just getting a little feeling its legs. But no, he set up this hostel. It was zoned actually like almost like a halfway house.
Yeah.
And so it had sort of the residential sort of slash commercial zoning, right? He grabbed the property, and he turned it into a hostel for surfers. And what was interesting, because this is where it kind of crosses over from that minimalist in my mind, is that he went to somebody like Lost, for example, down there, or Rainbow Sandals, and people that were involved in the surf industry, right? And basically Rip Curl and whatever. And they came in, and they took over a room. And everything from the skin decal on the outside of the wall, the door, the inside, whatever, you had maybe two or four per room, you know, like a bunch of guys are going to go surf,
right.
And it was one step up from camping, basically. It's glamping, really, right?
Yeah.
And he basically set up a hostel for surfers.
Yeah.
And it's across the street, literally, from a surf spot.
Right.
So that there is a market for that. And this is, again, going back to what I was talking about. You know, you got everything and anything happening. There's this sort of laboratory experimentation that's taking place. And it's not limited, actually, I think, to the entrepreneurs entering into the industry. I think it's also where it's existing properties or older properties that are reinventing or trying to reposition themselves.
Adaptive reuse, any number of things. Now, okay, let's look at the wellness side for just a second, because I know we're going to go further into that. But, you know, you've got, you know, actually surfing and yoga.
Yep.
You've got places in Costa Rica and Belize and various other places where they combine the two. So you've got a yoga retreat,
yep.
you've got the surfing, and you've got that B&B feel, not necessarily a smaller hotel, but you know, you've got four or five people, maybe 10 at a residential beachfront facility.
And it's going beyond just hospitality in that it's only like what you're talking about, that draw and attractiveness in terms of activity is also going into where that potentially could be anchored around a hospitality center, service center, but then also have vacation villas or whatever around there. So that it goes into more of a real estate development situation.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of a property that is very iconic and has been around for a while, one of my favorite properties actually on the coast is the Four Seasons Resort in Biltmore, Santa Barbara.
Beautiful property.
Beautiful, beautiful property on the coastline there in Santa Barbara. And do we have Emily on the phone, Paul?
Yes, we do. Emily, welcome to Check Out California.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Hi, Emily. Would you introduce yourself to the listeners, please?
Absolutely. I'm the director of PR at Four Seasons Resort, the Biltmore Santa Barbara. And I represent the property. I've been with the property about a year now.
How is the weather there today?
Oh, it's always beautiful.
It's not hot. It's not miserably hot like it's trying to be down here in Orange County and elsewhere.
No, not at all. We're in a bit of a microclimate in Montecito, so
absolutely.
Temperatures are a little bit lower than the rest of California, which is great.
Yeah, gosh, I mean, that property is just give people a little bit of background on the property, Emily. How long has that property been around?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been, we're actually celebrating our 90th anniversary this year.
Amazing.
Which is an awesome milestone. The property was assumed by its current owner, Mr. Ty Warner, in 2001, and what has been a Four Seasons for a little over 20 years now. So it's a really iconic property, and those in Santa Barbara have really taught me more than I could ever teach them about the property and its history in the destination.
I want Craig to share just a little bit. He gave us on one previous episode, and I would like him to do it again, this name Biltmore and how many of them there once were and that evolution of that. Do you know some of that? You know some of that
story?
Well,
I think Emily's, you know, on
maybe
site,
she can tell
she
us
probably
more.
Knows that story better than
Biltmore
I do.
Biltmore came from where? Were the name and how many of them? I think of the Arizona Biltmore. I think of the Biltmore downtown in Los Angeles. At one time, there were quite a number of them. Were they all connected, or was it just a name they all adopted?
Do you know the story on the naming, Emily? This is Craig Sullivan.
You know, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't.
Oh, you're going to love this.
Yeah, I think Craig knows the story. Craig's going to tell it.
Really? We're going to call the lady in from Santa Barbara, and you guys are going to school her on the name of the
mess,
right?
Yeah, come on, it's a great
story.
We're
old school. We're old school.
I apologize, Emily. I don't know what these guys are going to do from one minute to the other.
Emily, Mr. Vanderbilt and Mr. J.P. Morgan were, urban legend goes, they were commiserating one day, and Vanderbilt's daughter was dating a hotel manager in New York, and J.P. Morgan came back and said, well, you know, yeah, that could be a little bit under her station, but we can solve that. We will open up some hotels. And Biltmore came from Vanderbilt and Morgan. They combined their two last names, and hence the name Biltmore.
And then when Vanderbilt built his estate, the largest home ever built in America
correct.
In Asheville, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Which is now a hotel, but it used to be his own home, it was named Biltmore
Estates.
Yeah. And I don't know if that gave birth. And were all the Biltmores, Craig, associated together? The
yes,
one
they
in
were
Arizona
one time, yes.
And the one in L.A. and all that stuff?
Yes. And the one in L.A., which I'm very familiar with, a client of mine owned it at one point in time. When that was under construction, they knew that Prohibition was going to happen.
Yes,
and
right.
They built a speakeasy in the basement, and there's all types of secret passages that some will put you out on the street, some
yes,
put you into various points in the lobby, and they're still there.
Right.
So, yeah.
We built that within mind.
Well, and Emily,
but
I mean,
Emily works at a beautiful hotel.
That property is amazing.
A jewel.
Yeah, I mean, it's 90 years old, huh? It's amazing. I mean, that's... I can only imagine what stories people are telling you
that
have been going to this thing, because it's such an institution in Santa Barbara, isn't it?
Absolutely. And actually, our original photographer by the name of Hal Boucher, he is 92 years old, and he still comes to work every day. He had the has been our resort photographer for over 40 years. And he has some incredible images of the Reagan family and Bing Crosby and Zsa Zsa Gabor all enjoying themselves at the resort as well as at Coral Casino, which is our private members-only club managed by Four Seasons across the street.
You know, I'm president of the Sacramento Historical Society down here, and you are just making me want to get in the car, put the top down, and just drive up there. because it's we're actually, believe it or not, the town here is about to celebrate about the same, and some of the architects that were involved in the rebuilding of Santa Barbara after the big quake that happened, some of them actually from that architectural board were brought down to actually build and design San Clemente.
I didn't know there was a big quake ever in
Santa
Barbara.
Oh, yeah. They lost a lot of it. Actually, a lot of the what you see today was purposely designed that way to be in the Spanish style. Prior to the earthquake, Santa Barbara did not have this consistency of Spanish architecture, other than like some of the missions and stuff like that. You know, this property being 90 years old. I mean, where were you before, if I may ask?
Yeah, so I'm actually, prior to this, I worked with an agency and represented a lot of restaurants and resorts and hotel properties in Los Angeles as well as across the country.
So to you, how is this relatively a new experience in Santa Barbara, or have you spent time up there?
Yeah, so I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, so I'm really familiar with Santa Barbara, Montecito, and the area. But this is my first property. This will be the first property I've represented in the destination.
What a treat! I mean, what a property to get your feet
How
right in Santa Barbara.
How have all the Biltmores maintained that prestige? Because you're talking about a very prestigious property. I know the property. Most people know the property, and it's iconic. And I could rattle off two or three other Biltmores, like the one in downtown Los Angeles, like the Biltmore in Arizona. I'm sure there's some others.
I'd say it's not only iconic, Paul. You know, we talk about, and we jokingly say that most sales, Emily, or most elective sales happen for two reasons. People buy because it's an affirmation of status, or it is a aspiration of status of some sort.
Yeah. Right.
And I would say that the iconic property is like the Biltmore, like this one in Santa Barbara. They do both.
You have people that
it's an affirmation of quality of life and status, but it's also an aspiration. You know, and that usually happens. You know, it ends up being whoever is staying in the private villas and the casitas, and who's eating at the restaurant.
But I ask it in all seriousness, because not all old properties maintain that. We all know of classic old places, the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles. It isn't there anymore.
No, it's a high school and a middle school.
Yeah.
So what do you guys right. have planned for this 90 years, Emily?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, as you mentioned, this property is so beloved, and it really is a property that can be enjoyed in so many different ways, whether you're in one of our bungalow suites with private plunge pools, or you're booking yourself in a garden view room for the night. However you want to experience the property, there's no two experiences alike, and we really pride ourselves, Four Seasons does, on the golden rule and treating others as you would want to be treated. And I think our service really does maintain that, you know, those sorts of standards. So the property celebrates its anniversary every day, every year, just by really always bringing the luxury and service that is expected. It's been particular this year. We partnered with a phenomenal winery. As I'm sure you know, the San Ynez Valley is a really
great wines,
you know, a phenomenal wine region with a lot of different the ability to really create a lot of different grapes and varietals. So we've partnered with Sunstone Vineyard and Winery, and we're actually going to be offering a 90-year anniversary reserve wine that'll be offered at the property, as well as gifted to several of our top clients and guests. outlets and media. And,
just well, you're going to send us a bottle, aren't you, for review? I mean, that's just a given, right?
The,
spoken like a real Irishman. So how do you? I mean, I saw you guys at the iSpy media event, West Coast media event,
yes.
You know, I want to talk about, because this is the other thing that somebody's going to say. Well, the property's been around for 90 years, and it's basically established, and it's basically has a repetitive clientele. Your
right.
photographer is 92 years old; he's still coming to work. You know, what are you doing? What is how's that property appealing and staying current? What are
yes.
you guys doing in terms of? I mean, I know that wellness, for example, is a big draw, and it's something that just has grown exponentially even over the last.
Well, that's
you know,
what I was trying to get at to my early question. How do you maintain iconic status? How do you not fade away? Iconic
right.
can mean old, and that can mean be appealing to certain people, but it can mean old too. And I don't want to go there anymore.
So I'm going to start calling you iconic now.
Well, I'm iconic.
Okay.
Or old Paul.
So what are you guys doing
exactly.
there that you know? I mean, the property is unique. What,
to maintain
what
that
makes,
status,
what sets
yeah.
it apart, Emily,
and keeps it apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so we are constantly working to engage like-minded partners, and one of the huge draws of our property is we have the only oceanfront spa in the destination.
Mm.
You can hear the waves as you're getting a massage or a treatment, which is just
how so, quick can we get there?
So beautiful. Yeah. Exactly. Right,
this
right on Butterfly Beach. So it is, it's a really special place. And actually our spa was renovated by Peter Marino, who's,
yep.
as I'm sure you know, very famous architect. And we really love his aesthetic. He also renovated our Coral Casino Beach and Cabana Club. I think by, you know, to keep ourselves in the iconic category, we really try to, you know, constantly improve our programming, use local partners, local products, really find ourselves a sense of place in the destination,
right.
and never forget that, you know, keeping a legacy is much more challenging than just saying you have one.
It
so
definitely
we're always
is.
Trying to be on the cusp of, you know, the hospitality industry and maintaining our ranking and our service standards, so on and so forth.
Well, I mean, especially with Four Seasons and with Biltmore, I mean, I can, you know, it's one thing to achieve that level, but then to maintain it, that is a constant 24/7,
yes.
every level.
I would think so. You know, and it's interesting because before you came on, Craig was talking about his role with
Broughton Hotels.
I keep wanting to say that.
Emily, as you know, we've got two properties up in your backyard. We've got the Inn at East Beach, and we've also got the Spanish Garden Inn. And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you've got an iconic property there that has transcended generations. It's used for multiple events from, you know, a small corporate event to a large party wedding. And, you know, it's that area. Due to the weather, the location in the state, the drive to destination,
the
history,
yeah,
you know,
special.
Everything that's there, just you guys have capitalized.
Well, I guess what I was getting at is
again.
Obviously what he's doing and what so many people are trying to do is create these local feeling, local flavored things. And you just said we try and tap into local
yeah.
wineries, we try and tap into local
right.
resources. That's not something I associate with big chains like the Four Seasons per se.
But I think what. To Emily's point is because it's an iconic property, because it's uniquely yeah. positioned in and close to certain unique elements like the San Inez wineries, the ocean, you know, that it's not only maximizing it on the property, but also in terms of partnerships. I mean, there's a lot of unique art that happens in Santa Barbara.
Oh,
there's the summer solstice. There's
yeah.
certain things like that. And, you know, the show, Emily, the show is primarily California-focused. You know, and the reason why we're covering the iSpy event here is because it took place on the West Coast, and there were some properties that were in there. But, again, you know, I just my chest just swells with pride whenever we talk about things that are unique like this, because most people just look at us as being, oh, that's that stuff on the left coast. There's so much heritage and history and legacy.
Yeah, you don't think
in something
that.
Of this nature.
But I guess what I was getting at, maybe you can comment on this. So, is that a conflict? How do you work within the Four Seasons organization or brand, and yet have something that feels like unique local.
Yeah, but I think your concept of the Four Seasons is wrong.
Well, maybe. Yeah. I could. I'm the everyman here.
Yeah, he's the everyman.
I'm not an educated consumer.
So school him back, Emily, on some Four Seasons reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Four Seasons is, we like to think, a very approachable brand in the sense that we never come to the table with just you know, one offering or one way of experiencing the property. So we are only as good as our neighbors and our partners, and we really find that by leveraging all that Santa Barbara has to offer, it has made us a great property and a great hotel, and we can't take all the credit. Four Seasons is an unbelievable training program, an unbelievable school of thought, but it really is our partners and that provides each property such a unique sense of place. And while there's continuity across all Four Seasons in terms of certain standards, I think every property has its own voice and really does maintain its own legacy in its own way.
And I'm going to give a shout out to Mehdi Iftikhari, who used to be the GM at Beverly Hills and on Doheny, and now he was down in Orange County at Four Seasons before in Newport, and now he's in New York. So Mehdi, if you're listening, you know, it's an amazing man. Again, very much the epitome in my mind. Some of these leadership, Michael Newcomb, who was at Westlake and now is in Beverly Hills. The Four Seasons brand is amazing. It really is an amazing brand.
So it encourages
and it's
that
constantly
unique character.
Evolving and constantly fine tuning and constantly open to refinement and even working with them. There isn't that stodginess at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now to put that into a property as iconic as this, or you know, on Doheny, the what they call the Dame of Doheny, basically.
Yeah, right.
You know, Hollywood's lounge. Those they really maximize those elements that are unique to those properties.
But that can't be easy to do for a corporate culture, because corporations.
Well, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah, right. Everybody wants to have. I go to I don't know, pick any chain, Hilton or Marriott or something. I go there because I'm familiar with that. I'm comfortable with it. And whether it's in Tokyo or Toledo, I expect it to be exactly the same. And I'm not going there necessarily for the unique Toledo version of it. But more and more, that's what you were talking about with boutique hotels and all that. We're trying to get more of that. When I go to Toledo, what's unique about Toledo, if anything?
You know what, Emily? I have this distinct feeling that he's fishing for a trip up the coast.
Always.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome anytime. It's such a pleasure speaking to you all about, you know, the Biltmore. It is such a special property, and we welcome you anytime and look forward to sharing a lot more with you in our 91st year.
Yeah, you know what, Emily, I actually would love to, and Gregory was talking to me while we were there with you. This is such a unique and important property, I think, for what we're talking about. I would love to actually do a remote from there, maybe as part of that 90-year celebration.
That'd be, capture some of that, talk
if
about
that,
it.
So I'll reach out to you. I'll reach out to you later, maybe this week or something, see if it's appropriate and when. But that would be
wonderful.
Yeah, we would love to do that.
Great.
Maybe have some people line up and actually have some
share. Your department heads, your spa manager.
I want to hear from people like that photographer that's 92 years old. That's been there. I want to hear the stories.
Exactly.
People that have maybe in the local neighborhoods that have been coming, you know, they're celebrating family special days and stuff like that. You know, to hear from that again, I'm an absolute history buff, and this is just, it's ringing all bells for me. So, I would love to do that.
We would welcome it, and we look forward to it, and I look forward to hearing from you on next steps with that plan.
Have you ever had people that have, like, lived in the property for a long time? I remember years ago I stayed at the Biltmore in downtown Los Angeles, and they'd love to tell you the door from the bellman up. There was some lady, this is back in the 80s, was living there in her 80s. She'd checked in. She had money. She was all alone, and she ended up staying in the hotel for, like, I don't know, 20 years or something. And she became like, she would go down every day in the lobby, and she just became a fixture as part of that. I don't know if there's those kinds of stories.
I'll do some investigating.
Find some stories like that of people who.
Thank you, Emily, for taking the time and joining us.
Of course.
Thank you, Emily. Really appreciate your time.
So
we're looking
much.
Forward to seeing you up at the property soon.
Have a great Santa Barbara day up there.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Right. You too. Bye-bye.
It can't be easy maintaining icon status.
No, it's not. I mean, when you look at, you know, You know, it's got a historical place in the state and the city, and there's certain standards you have to maintain for that. You know, especially when you when it comes to renovation of the asset and, you know, training your people. I mean, you know, we do this on a regular basis. We've got you know, we are a corporation, but we celebrate our diversity. We celebrate.
What's unique?
The abilities that everybody brings to the table, and best practices are shared at team meetings all the time. And we've got guys that are really creative and outside of the box, and we train them, we celebrate that, and we promote from within.
You know, I'll tell you
and
what.
They do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what's difficult. Mm-hmm. Okay? Difficult is only measured as being so if your alternative path is to take what's easy and low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Isn't that what so many people do, though, in
right.
so many ways?
And that's why I phrased it the way I did, because it's not really limited to the hospitality industry, but
across the board.
Yeah. And the society that we live in, and you and I talk about this all the time relevant to other things, but the society we live in is sophisticated. It is, if not discerning, it's definitely overexposed, right? And people have before the days of the internet, when it was just cable,
right?
We would jokingly say that every client that we went into their home to basically talk about their interiors has already seen 3 hours of HDTV every week and 3 hours of Travel Channel every week,
right.
And that's on every week,
right?
And that's on a busy week, right? So very much they have opinions upon opinions. It's dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So everybody is exposed, and so people indirectly have been conditioned now to smell a fake a mile away.
Yes, especially something through social media.
That's just paper thin.
Phony news.
Fake news, yeah. Right.
Fake news. Alternative facts.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, we're not going down that path.
You know what? It sort of reminds me of I was involved in the restaurant industry. That's my only connection to you guys here, and watching the growth of microbreweries,
right,
which were once little funny, little crazy experiments, and then the big
guys.
And
now they're huge.
Yeah, and the Budweisers and the Miller SABs started buying them all up, and their challenge was to keep them authentic.
Well, okay.
And they failed. Some of them failed. They've tried. Other have tried. I mean, there have been good examples and bad examples, but they tried to. And I don't remember the latest numbers, but a large percentage, like a significant percentage of their profit is now from the microbreweries, not just from the core brands
but
anymore.
The discerning consumer is still going to a non-corporate microbrewery.
Yeah.
You may not even know it because a lot of them are doing really well hiding that fact. But certainly the Millers and the SABs, I mean the big boys, want to tap into some of that without killing it.
Ironically, South Orange County is one of the largest microbrewery growth markets in the country.
It's been growing. It was overlooked for a long time. Yep. San Diego and even L.A. and stuff were not part of the
expansion. You were going to say something, right?
I was going to say it was like Kempton Hotels was acquired by Intercontinental Hotel Group. And you know what? That culture has been able to thrive and do well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've got, guys started out, restaurant guys, started doing hotels up in the Bay Area, got bigger, and it's now part of IHG, and they've done exceedingly well. You know, I mean, having branded hotels is not a bad thing. It makes it a lot easier to position the deal, to get it closed, to get the financing, to get a number of things done.
Mm-hmm.
Being a boutique or an independent operator can have some trials and tribulations on the financing side, especially.
Well, plus the operations. So you're not getting the economies of scale. You're not buying food at the right price. And
that's where someone like us, Broughton Hotels, comes in as a third-party operator, and we can.
You bring
we can
in those
deal
benefits.
With the OTAs. We can deal with the purchasing companies.
Right.
You know, we that's one of 100 things, and I'm underestimating, that we bring to the table.
Yeah, I had a one-off bar, and we built a couple of them, Kelly McHugh's, and they were kind of a cute, you know, Cheers-like atmosphere, and we had tons of microbrewed beers, and we're a little bit ahead of our time, but we were always getting hammered because we couldn't buy the products like our competitors could.
Right. You know, so there's...
We didn't buy the volume.
I love branded hotels. Don't get me wrong. You know, right. But, you know, I love the boutique side, and that's where I'm at now.
And well, and there's a happy medium. I think there's a hybrid model that's sort of emerging a little bit. Like, you have Hyatt buys Miraval spas.
Right.
Right, and they're bringing them in. And then the question is just how heavy-footed are you as the buying company to basically...
I love you, now change. No, don't do that.
Well,
you
right. Know, yeah, but, right, but I think that happens, again, across multiple industries. So it's interesting time to watch this industry kind of go through the steps, right? And in the middle of all of this stuff, you have, like, Emily's property there. You know, you have the Biltmore, for example. It's iconic. It's still current. It's still got the mystique and the draw.
Right.
You know, it's still appealing to newer population.
And they're still working with local artisans. They're trying to find a local winery to create a special 90th celebratory wine. That's something I applaud. I don't know how many big hotels still do that. It's like you get to a certain point and you get corporatized and it doesn't have the vibrancy.
But I think, again, I think there's a misnomer. The way that operationally a hotel works, even though it is part of a national brand, you have local decision-making that happens, okay?
Right.
And it just depends on the level of involvement and engagement of that general manager or that property manager or that retail manager or that F&B manager. Is that F&B
manager
reaching out?
The rest of them,
right. It depends, okay? Because there is the safe formula. But when you are a property like this, like the Biltmore in Santa Barbara, like another property that was basically showcased also at the iSpy event, West Coast event, a media event, the spa at the Dell, Coronado, California.
Hotel Dell.
The Hotel Dell. You know? I mean, some of the experience, mermaid manicures and sound healing. Call them and find out about that. Not you, but your wife, right? Mermaid fitness at the Dell. Path to beauty and wellness, right? I mean... Remember, these properties are not just destinations for people coming from elsewhere. Perfect example, the Hotel Dell and the Biltmore Estate, right? Or the Biltmore Hotel in Santa Barbara. These are community-engaged partners. With the community, with the people who are living around them, with other people and providers and purveyors of goods. And if you have organic farms in the nearby area, or you have wineries, or you have artisans, and this is not, you know, just like, you know, you're trying to be charitable. You got amazing artists in Santa Barbara. You got great wine in the valley, so
and
it would be kind of foolish to not basically do
that. You got culinary geniuses up there, and you can do the, you know, farm to table relatively easily there. I mean, you can do it up in a lot of different areas, Menlo Park. You know, you can do it in Napa and various other areas.
The truth is, you can do it anywhere. I was in Arkansas in the backwoods. On a trip, with a road trip, and we stopped at some place, and there was this really cool, very upscale restaurant in this little shopping center, and it existed because more and more sophisticated people were coming to Fayetteville and all this stuff because of Walmart, so there was a demand for better lodging, for better food and dining in what you would think is just, you know, hamburger heaven.
Well, like we were saying, you know, and I mentioned them at the beginning, and they were going to be on here, but unfortunately they weren't able to join us today. But, you know, the Kohler Water Spas in Wisconsin, okay, they're opening their fourth location, okay? But Kohler is usually associated only if you're in the industry that I'm in, possibly, or if you buy a lot of, you spend a lot of time
at the Kohler faucets.
Yeah, exactly. Or you spend a lot of time at, like, you know, the Home Depot or Lowe's, right?
Yeah.
Kohler is a plumbing company,
right?
I mean, plumbing fixtures company, but it's also a town in Wisconsin,
right?
I didn't know that,
right? And so there is a Kohler Water Spa, right? And they basically have healing waters treatments. Right, they have a spa lodge. They have a menu of services. You know, they announce different menus of services every year, and they are a part of the Wisconsin experience. So again, they're tapping into stuff there that you, as a person who's either in the community and wanting to go spend time there, whether it's for healing, for giving to yourself, whether it's an escape from the kids because you can't stand being at home anymore, right? Or you know, grandpa.
Not the grandkids, though. We love the grandkids.
Grandpa dropped them off, and you weren't ready for him to drop them off just yet. You know, you didn't
never
escape.
Always ready.
But all these properties,
You know, we just talked about one in the desert, Two Bunch Pump. Yeah. We talked one in Santa Barbara, which I will just call a city by the beach kind of thing, right? Yeah. And then we talked about the Coronado, which is really on the sand. I mean, the biggest sand beach in San Diego, right? They're all constantly needing to stay on top of their game.
Yes, that's the message.
And the other thing that you're missing, I think, Paul, is that, you know, each one of these hotels draws from the local talent pool, mm-hmm. whether it's somebody behind the scenes mm-hmm. that you don't even notice it's there, and they're doing their job that well that you don't notice that they're there.
Right.
You know, maintenance.
Cleaning the pool or whatever,
You know, or chefs or any number of things. The artisans. And the more that you are that good neighbor and the more that you bring the community into the hotel itself,
the more you're vested in the community, the more the community
the better off you are.
But am I the only one who thinks that wasn't the way it was for a long time?
For those properties, I think it was probably that way for a long time.
But I picture the corporatization of America
as
bringing it all in, and we're going to we're going to replicate an experience McDonald's all over the world here, and it's going to be exactly the same.
You did see that, but you know what? That formula works, and that formula works on a lot of different levels. And Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, IHG. Do it exceedingly well.
Right.
And, you know, it's tough to compete with, you know, with Marriott or argue about Marriott's success looking at their global footprint.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're right.
It's a predictable product that you can get anywhere.
But, you know what? Not as much as you're leading it to be right now.
Okay.
That's been changing. I think you saw a lot of that. 80s, 90s, you know, but
that's when I was out traveling the world. So yeah,
that's changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got some, you know, really great owner operators that, you know, thrive in both spaces, the independent, the boutique, you know, and lifestyle, and the lifestyle boutique brands are, you know, really something special. And they have been for a long time, and they are the vanguard. They are on top of the changes, and you will see things that work there that can translate into the branded full service hotels.
Exactly.
But it also depends. You know, these branded full service hotels are built for a reason. These guys can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where a lot of people can't. He bought that hotel. He just happened to be on a plane with a hotel broker. And they were both sitting in first class.
Oh, you're kidding.
And, you know,
the guy who bought the Biltmore we're just talking about?
Yeah, this is a long time ago because he's owned it for, you know, a couple of decades now, I believe, or close to
2001,
that.
I think.
But he was sitting in first class. There was a gentleman sitting next to him, and he happened to be a hotel broker. He ended up being Ty's hotel broker on every hotel he purchased. So, you know, again, it's that small industry that's got a global presence, and you're going to see differences at a Hilton in London, New York, Paris, Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., and Dallas. So
it's not as one size
fits
all.
But you know, and that's why you see so many brands. Okay,
right.
Marriott is got 32 different flags now.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, and they all
32 different versions of what they're trying to do. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say that the same version because I'll argue that point for the next 2 hours mm-hmm. with you because that's just not right. But you've got certain segments, whether it's select service where you don't have any food and beverage,
mm-hmm.
to full-service destination, family-orientated resorts.
Where you're not going to leave the property.
Right.
You're there, right.
And you've got, you know, conference hotels attached to convention centers, and they all have a different experience. They all have a different purpose,
mm-hmm.
and you've also got different price points.
And that's what I was going to say as well. I was going to piggyback, actually, and remind you what you said when you were in town, San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I just wanted to go down there, and I just was looking for a place to stay. I would not go to the Biltmore or the Dell if I'm going to go in there
and spend
one night sleep and be somewhere else.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, it depends on the purpose. If I've got 2 days or even a one night over, even if I was going to be able to have like a breakfast, a leisurely breakfast and dinner or something,
right.
I would consider it, especially if I have a meeting there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think
it's not a one-size-fits-all, which is really an interesting situation. I mean, you could almost argue that we have too many options on the market, right? But it's an interesting thing because all those options, to a certain extent, are sustainable.
Right.
They all have a niche.
Well, and they're all sustainable, exactly. They're appealing to somebody enough for that business model to basically proceed.
Yeah. So as the show continues, I look forward to meeting all these people that you guys know that I don't know, and to experiencing all the different niches that there are out there. Because I think there's a lot more than the general public or the general business traveler.
So I'm going to throw you.
I agree, but you have to wear jeans and not cargo shorts.
I sent him an article saying cargo shorts are on the way back.
He just told me.
Okay, but Paul.
Hey, I just got rid of all mine.
Greg, come
just
on.
Just threw them all away.
I'm going to throw you guys a curve, though.
Okay. What is iSpa, by the way, before you
International Spa Association.
Okay, I'm thinking, you know, like iPhone.
No, it's not an Apple.
Is it a vibrating chair that's sitting in the lobby somewhere? Or, you know,
water comes
out of
your
phone.
Man who's been in the hotel industry for over 20 years. But I apologize, iSpa. He's just a co-host, what can I tell you?
That's right. But listen, just a humble co-host.
He's a very humble co-host. Between the two of them, there's so much humbleness in this room, I'm going to have to dig myself out.
It's an Irish thing.
Right.
Humble pie.
But here's the thing. It's not even limited to hotels.
No, it's not.
Okay? We spent the last hour basically talking about wellness and hotels and stuff like that, right? You know what the city of Beverly Hills did last month?
You mentioned that.
Yes. The city of Beverly Hills launched a program with none other than Christy Brinkley, which why I wasn't invited to that thing, I have no idea, but...
Love Christy.
You know, all right. Beverly Hills is now heralding themselves as the city of wealth. And you may go, wait a minute, hold on. I've always known they're a city of wealth. You mean they've been just basically now finally calling themselves what we've always known?
Not about money.
They've come out. It's not about money. Yeah. It's spelled W-E-L-L-T-H.
How clever.
Beverly Hills, City of Wealth. And just like, you know, with Anaheim has the sort of the Visit Anaheim thing, Beverly Hills is using this as part of their Visitors Bureau promotion, right? And I'm going to read right from their website.
And then we've got
to
wrap up.
Okay, you can go to their website. It's lovebeverlyhills.com/city-off-wealth, W-E-L-L-T-H. In the modern world of smartphones, business meetings between conference calls, and on-go everything, it is easy to get caught up in the search for the next best thing and how to be first to get it. But there's something more important to keep in mind. There's wealth, W-E-L-T-H, and then there's wealth, W-E-L-L-T-H, okay? And basically, it refers back to a quote that says, the good life is no longer just about material. Instead, it can be found in the lifestyle that is devoted to mental, physical, and emotional health. So City of Beverly Hills is actually forming themselves at a destination of wellness.
Yeah.
Okay? And they have you go to their website. There's a wellness quiz. You know, which of these items wouldn't a vegan eat? What is gratitude? How much sleep do adults really need each day? And so forth and so on.
I know you need hours more to tell this story, but I
have one question to both of you.
Yes.
Okay? And the question is this. And
last question of the day.
And it's from their quiz. Okay?
Last question.
Who penned the words, the first wealth is health? Jackie Collins? Ralph Waldo Emerson, Douglas Fairbanks, William Shakespeare, who?
I thought it was Ralph Cramden, but that's an updating myself.
Douglas Fairbanks.
I'm going to say Waldo Emerson.
Wow, he gets it right, and both of us got it wrong. Okay, and he's not the one. Okay, so this is the changing face of hospitality in America, and California is once again leading the trend. I've never seen a city basically take on a wellness program of this
and
nature.
And you can see more and more of that throughout California.
Yes.
So
come back in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk more about hospitality in California.
Thanks
for joining us, everybody.
Appreciate it.
Catch us up on social media.
And check out California.